thank you for your presence, because in your presence we know that we know that we know it is you that does all things well. And Father, we've gathered in your name, so therefore that immediately allows you to appear to all of us, because your word declares it. And Father, we just ask, we have ears to hear what the Spirit would say.
Yes, Lord.
And that we would just hunger for you.
Yes.
That Father, we pray today that not only this class would be in your presence and in your will, but we pray for Cynthia already out in the auditorium.
Yes.
Amen. That Lord, we pray for freedom to rejoice, Lord. Yes. The right to rejoice, to whom the Spirit has set free, is free indeed.
Yes.
Lord, have your way here to this day as we bring the praises unto you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And amen. He is worthy. He is worthy. Well, Clyde's prayer is going to make me go off script here.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to read this statement. It really affected me. It was so powerful. God's presence gives victory over sin and causes you to become a new creation in reality.
Yes.
Reality.
Excuse me.
What's real, not this thing that's temporal. There's a lot of temporal stuff bombarding us, isn't it? Trying to get our attention, trying to get our time, trying to get our emotions and whatever. And man, when we're in his presence, there's not only fullness of joy, there is this new creation rising up inside of us that says, this isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only real thing
right.
in this world.
Right.
And we're going to just keep our eyes on him and follow him and worship him and be in his presence. Because if we're in his presence, there's no better place to be anywhere in this world than to be in his presence. So, got off track, but we'll get back to some other. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read this. This is interesting because in his when we're in his presence, it's hard to get angry, isn't it? It's hard to judge a brother or a sister. It's hard to do any of that when you're in his presence because there's the joy, there's the love that you feel, there's all these wonderful things. So I'm going to read this because y'all know Brother Eby. And Brother Eby, I would consider a very spiritual man. And I've read his stuff for going on 25 years, I guess. And I love reading his newsletter. But he had a, I'm going to just read this, okay, and then we'll get into our study. He says, without doubt, God is the great book opener.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that good? Because we are living epistles. We're living books.
Yeah, that's
right. We are living books. And God is the great book opener.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Isn't that good?
Which page did you read?
What's that? I don't know. Part 230, page 4. About halfway down, a little more than halfway down. This is God's way of judging us. And again, don't take the Christian definition of judging. Okay? Because if you do, you're going to miss the point. We know that God judges righteously, right? And wants us to judge righteously. So think of that when you're thinking about judgment. It's God's way of judging us or rewriting our books. The means by which he brings his judgment into our lives is very simple, yet extremely effective. For example, the person abiding in some realm of soulish death, which we're talking the flesh, is brought to a crisis. Okay? God arranges circumstances and places the man in situations that opens his book. And we all could say amen. Amen to that. thus revealing himself to himself to himself, revealing yourself to yourself. Mm-hmm. Unless he's opening that book, we don't see the true self. We don't see the garbage within that God's going to release us of and deliver us from, you know. Anyway, it's just a funny little story. You think of Evie as being this spiritual guy, but he's no different than the rest of us. We're all, you know, we all have our moments. He says, I shall never forget an occasion, though it was nearly 50 years ago, when the Lord pressed this message home to my heart. In those days, I was accustomed to changing the oil in my car. It never ceased to amaze me how a simple 10-minute job could invariably turn into a disastrous hour-long ordeal. Mm-hmm. Anybody changed oil before?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know what he's talking about.
It's a mess.
This certain day, I had a few extra minutes, so determined to utilize them by changing the oil, I crawled under the car and proceeded to try to remove the oil plug. But it refused to cooperate. It simply would not budge. I pushed on the wrench with all my might. I grunted, groaned, and moaned. As minutes passed into an hour, the plug refused to yield, and by this time I was becoming damaged. making it more impossible to turn. Exasperation laid hold of me. At that point, I became exceedingly agitated and began to act very ungodly-like. And just as soon as my rage reached its most explosive pitch, and boy, does this happen, and what was manifested was all of me and none of him. Mm-hmm. Okay? I saw 2 feet walking slowly by the car. The feet belonged to my neighbor. So he's probably cussing a blue streak.
Yes.
and the neighbor's, oh.
This must be a different guy underneath.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that must be his mechanic. Okay. The feet belonged to my neighbor. I knew that this neighbor was aware that I was a minister of the gospel. Suddenly I realized that my book had just been opened. Before God's great white throne judgment, and my neighbor had been permitted to read a very ugly chapter. Have we all experienced that?
Yes.
Amen. My heart smote me. Oh God, no. How ashamed I was that this man had read such a sordid scene. Humiliated and convicted, judged, at once I laid down the wrench and breathed. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about, you look up there, God is spirit. Pneuma is the Greek word, and it means breath. Mm-hmm. Okay, it means a lot of other things we'll get into, but it means breath. So I laid down the wrench and breathed. What was he breathing?
Spirit of God.
Yeah. The earnest prayer, Father, forgive me. And you know, we don't ask for forgiveness for God's sake, do we? Huh?
I hope not. I hope that we're asking for forgiveness because of the grace of God within us.
But that's not us. He does not require us to say, oh, Father, forgive me. He's already forgiven us.
Right.
Jesus already took them all. There's no more sin, period. So we're doing this for ourselves.
Right. That's right.
Our carnal.
That's exactly right. We're doing it for ourselves.
Right.
To reassure ourselves, we're asking the God that does forgive.
Yes.
There you go. That's
yes.
Right. We just need confirmation.
Yes. It just makes us maybe feel like, okay, we're connecting back with God. And I got off track, but now I'm back on track. So anyway, help me somehow to get this oil plug out. Mm-hmm. So he went within, mm-hmm, to get a response or whatever without. You know, this oil plug was
flip that over.
Divinely ordained of God to not open at that time. And, I mean, you've all done it. I've been building something, you know, and all of a sudden I hit an impasse. And you know what I do? I just drop it. Sometimes I don't come back to it till the next day. And it's amazing how the next day you have a clear vision on that big old blockade that was in front of you when you dropped it the day before, you know? And anyway, it says, I'll finish with this. The grand purpose for this opening of our book is so that all that is written there may be exposed and revealed.
Read above, that's good.
Huh?
Took a little part you left out after telling him what to do.
Oh,
that's...
Wait.
That's good.
I missed a part.
Yeah, right? Where he said...
Well, read it. Go ahead.
Right here where he said, and the Spirit whispered the words of wisdom, go to the other side of the car.
Oh, yeah, that's where... That's the whole point of ending it.
Go ahead. Pull instead of pushing. And I responded, I crawled out from under the car, obeyed the prompting of the Spirit. In less than a minute, the plug responded and the black oil flowed out. The message is clear. I could have drawn upon the Spirit earlier and prevented all the trouble, but God wanted to put his finger on something in my life, and he opened the book for me, and it was Judgment Day.
Amen.
And then you go on to it.
The grand purpose for this opening of our book is so that it is written there, that it is written there, may be exposed, revealed, displayed, and brought to judgment.
Amen.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was pretty good.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it all definitely relates back to our topic. We're finishing up, or maybe not. We may be going on, but Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. God is Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That word's pneuma. It means breath. It also means the vital principle by which the body is animated. Without the Spirit, you're not alive. That is the life in us, the rational spirit. You know, the Spirit of Truth, you know, some may call it, that doesn't understand spiritual things, your conscience. The Spirit of Truth will put you in check. It'll open your book to let you see what's there, you know. The power by which the human being feels, thinks, and decides. The disposition, I like this part the best, the disposition or influence which fills and governs the soul of anyone. Anyone? Yeah, everybody has a measure of faith, right? I mean, everybody has a measure of faith. You, 100% of the people born and unborn, I'm going to say, had a spirit. Has a spirit of has a measure of faith, and that can only come by the Spirit.
All things were made by him and for him.
Amen.
And without him was nothing made.
That's right.
Our consciousness, if we would become aware of that, he's the creator of all.
Yes. Everything. You know, it's not this group or this, that group or the other group. It's we all have some spirit in us through that measure of faith that he has given us. The Spirit of Truth, God's thought projecting into our mind ideas. Remember that thing we talked about a couple weeks ago where the Father's the mind, the Son is the ideas, and the Spirit is the, like the execution of it or whatever. So God's thought projecting into our mind ideas that will build spiritual consciousness like that of Jesus. The Spirit of Truth watches every detail in our life. When we ask and by affirmation proclaim its presence, it brings new life into both body, mind and body. That's an interesting thing. You know, the more I study into just who the Lord is, he cares about our body. I mean, he created it, didn't he? I mean, he cares about our body. It's not just all about our mind, our heart, whatever, you know, the inner man. And moves us to observe spiritual and physical laws that restore health. Man, I want to get a hold of that. That's powerful, isn't it? So, I mean, if the Spirit brings life, then it can restore life. I mean, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Guess what? That defied all logic, all science, all biology. It defied physiological things. You don't raise someone from the dead that's been dead for, what, 3 or 4 days, right?
Well, they did say that he was already, he started to stink.
His body was deteriorating.
He's already deteriorating.
Yeah. So I'm going to stop there and just say, okay, so God is spirit, and if we're going to worship him, and we know what the word worship means, I like to just do a quick definition, say worth, the word worth-ship. Whatever you feel has worth, that's what you're going to worship. If it's sports, then you're going to worship sports. If it's something else, your money, you're going to worship money. If it's God, you're going to worship God. And the good news is everybody's going to come eventually the same way. Start worshiping God now, because you're going to save yourself a lot of aggravation along the way. So if you're to worship him in spirit and in truth, what does that mean? How do you worship him in spirit and truth?
You stay in the presence.
Ah, good job.
Yeah.
I like that.
You know, can I mention?
Sure.
I've been thinking about this all morning since I got here. It's impossible for us to go in and out of the spirit, the presence of God. The minute you're out of the presence of God, you're dead.
You know.
What we go in and out of is awareness of his presence.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
And that's why it says, if reality were to break forth,
mm-hmm.
it's bringing ourselves into the awareness that he is in us, about us, around us, through us. He is all there is to us, if we were to see
mm-hmm.
clearly. And you know what Revelation says, and he shall go no more out. That's what we do in this carnal world that we're in. We go in and out and in and out of our awareness of his spirit being 100% of who we are.
Yes.
And so we are lied to and we believe it. We're pulled out of our awareness of it, and we see, and, you know, in that tree of knowledge of good and evil comes in, and it's just all, still so capable
mm-hmm.
of pulling us out of that. And that is the process that we're going through, is to realize there is nothing else.
Amen.
Yeah. When I do that, when I can realize, when I can get started today, you know, I'm going to stay in the present, in my awareness, my knowledge of the presence of God, and that only, the day goes great. But when I don't, look out, Nellie.
Mm-hmm.
Nellie bar the door, you know. And God hasn't changed.
No.
But my level of awareness changes.
Right.
Oh, believe me, I think that I deal with this every day, that I, you know, got these bad thoughts. Oh my goodness, I have to do, you know, Monday morning again, here we go. I got to deal with my manager or whatever. And I'm thinking, you know, it's just like, okay, Lord, you got to almost block that out. You
mm-hmm.
almost have to say,
mm-hmm.
you have to stay with me today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, every minute of the time. And it's so funny when those little things of, oh yeah, grab a beating or something like that, I'm like, okay, Lord. And you know what he tells you? Shut up. Stop. So it's, you know, it's, oh, it's just a constant battle of this thing. You're like, okay, Lord, or just help me to stay in the presence of you, because I just had a finally had a meeting with my manager. I'm like, what is it that we have this, you know? And it's amazing how when you can actually communicate in any relationship, you have a different perspective about somebody. You're like, I get it now. Now I know why she's a, you know, whatever. Now I get it, because she's looking after you, but you think that she's out to beat you up, and it's like, no, she wants to respect your privacy, say in your review or whatever, you know. It's like, no, you just, and I used to think that she just shutting people up, and I'm like, let them speak, let them finish their statement. And then I realized she's actually helping you by protecting you, because it's between you and, it's like, it's between you and him. You know, it's between you and your manager. It's your superior, not your whole team and bow breeding everybody. So it's that's what I learned this week. So, mm-hmm.
so it was good. He unveiled your perception.
Oh my goodness, I think, thank you, Jesus, because now I look at her, you know, and I just think, thank you, Jesus. Now I have a different
perspective
on her, and I'm thinking now we can move forward instead of constantly grudging
and
everything.
The renewing of
and
the
guess
mind.
What? My Monday mornings, it's not going to be as bad.
Well, I'm going to jump ahead here from what Lisa was saying and Kathy. And it's the Greek word for truth is reality.
Mm, that's good.
Man, wow. See, that's the whole thing. We got to awaken to reality. Not doctrine, not this is what I've been taught, this is what... Man, you don't need a mediator. You don't need, you know, anybody to sit there and go to God for you. You can go to God for yourself. You don't need anybody else to do it for you. He wants you to take in and glean from whatever someone may be saying that strikes you as... Wow, this is good, because then you know it's from the Lord. It's not from that person. But ultimately, he wants that one-on-one relationship, that face-to-face relationship. And that's only through you and him having a relationship, you know, and spending that precious time in meditation or whatever you want to call it, you know. Let me finish this. I'll get right to you here. It says, it's the application of truth that matters. Not just a superficial knowledge. We got a lot of Christians with knowledge.
Yes. Yes.
Man, I there was a guy on TBN that could quote that Bible. I would say he could almost quote two-thirds of the Bible, you know, by heart. But then he's talking about all this stuff that's going to happen in Revelation and whatever, and it's like his interpretation is he's got a lot of knowledge, you know. But anyway, this is the one that jumped out at me.
False.
Huh?
Lara's false.
Exactly. What seems new, this will change you. I'm telling you, it changed me. We know it, but this sentence changed me. What seems new is but the unveiling of that which has always been. Mm-hmm. Man, let that sink in. Jesus has done it all. Is there anything that he hasn't done that he's got to do here in the future? No. It's us. We got to let him open up that book and let us wake up to the fact that he's done it all. And now I can take and enjoy the benefits of all that he has done. And not get stressed out, not get upset, not get whatever, and just walk this life out in the Spirit, because the sons of God are led by the Spirit, so we need to be led by the Spirit every minute of every day. Go ahead, Clyde.
I'm sitting over here and saying that reality of God is actually like his priority list. I'm not sure if you actually see the priority. His priority is you.
And
I mean you in the mirror. You to other people, you by yourself, his priority is you. And when reality breaks forth, you'll know what great value that is.
Yes.
You'll value that, like the book says, in his presence. You'll value that more than you will anything else. Because in his presence, you know There's nothing that's gonna, nothing's gonna pluck you out of his hand. So that takes away with that fear. I mean, he's with you always. He never fails. Jesus never failed. I mean, the reality is you're gonna feel more at home.
Yeah.
You're gonna feel more at peace. You, how about this? You're gonna feel more assurance in him and not yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't tell me that when you're in him, you feel afraid, you feel worried. You go like, well, he's got that plan. Mike quotes that a lot. He's got that plan. And his plan is that when reality breaks forth, it's not him breaking forth. It's you allowing that mind of Christ to be in you so you can be one. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Mm-hmm. One spirit. I love when Oscar says that. I mean, and the object of a, I hate to use the word good, but for a boss is to make you successful. When you, that boss goes out of his way to make you successful, you make him successful. And that's on up the line. It's whether you're in service or whatever. You make the person that gave you an order look good, they're going to be smiling.
Amen. Well, the word parakletos is a technical word that could be translated defense attorney. In other words, he's done it all. It's maybe not a good example, but it's still, we can understand it because we've seen all the programs, Perry Mason and all that. It means one called to stand next to you as a helper. Well, isn't it great that not only, you know, is he in us, but he's also with us wherever we go, and when we need that counselor, when we need that comforter, when we need that advocate, when we need that encouragement, we need an intercessor for us and a helper. He's all that. He's all that. And he's in us and he's next to us. And side by side, we go through this just like when they yoke up an oxen, you know. You got a dominant oxen and you got the oxen that's being in under training or whatever. And that dominant oxen is the one that's in control. However, none of these words are adequate, fall short in explaining full meaning. The translator has chosen the word Savior, for it depicts the role of the Holy Spirit to protect, defend, and save us from ourselves and our enemies and keep us whole and healed. He is the one who guides and defends, comforts and consoles. What's left? What doesn't he do? I mean, seriously, keep in mind that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, our Savior. The Aramaic word, parakleta, which is taken from two root words, and this is cool. Para is to end, or finish, or to save, and leta means the curse. The curse. What a beautiful word picture. The Holy Spirit comes to end the work of the curse of sin in our lives and to save us from its every effect. Parakleta means a redeemer who ends the curse. Okay. So guess what? Don't live in the curse anymore. It's been taken care of. It's been eliminated from your life. God is love, and the law of God's law of love cannot be broken. Man brings evil upon himself by not obeying the law. Okay, what's the law? The Ten Commandments? Well, no. It's the law of love.
It's the 11th one that Oscar brought up last week.
It's the 11th commandment. Love God with everything, and actually it covers it all. So it's the only commandment is love God with all your might, strength, heart, whatever, and love your neighbor as yourself. So that's the law. So all we have to do is obey that law. You know, it's not 641 laws that the priesthood and the Jewish religion want you to abide by. It's love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Man brings evil on himself by not obeying that law. Jesus redeemed mankind from the ancient curse of Jehovah, but men are themselves responsible for avoiding transgression of the law. Sometimes the grace message gets too gracey, where you can just sit back in your lazy boy and do nothing. We have a responsibility. You know, it's not, yes, he did it all, but we have to embrace it and start living it. You know, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, and then John 16, and then I'm going to open it up. There's so much more I'd like to say, Jesus said. Wow. Wouldn't you like him to say, well, okay, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Well, he has. He has. We have what he couldn't tell. All of it? No. But we have so much more than what his audience was at that day. Jesus said, there's so much more I'd like to say to you, but it's more than you can grasp at this moment. But guess what? We can grasp a whole lot. He sent the Holy Spirit, right, on the day of Pentecost? They didn't have, per se, the Holy Spirit in the measure that we have.
No, but they had him. What more could you need if you didn't have... We have to believe in everything that the unforeseen, and he had, they had him. Oh my goodness, in the flesh.
But you know, some didn't believe. They
That's
turned around
That's what I'm saying.
It's
like, how could you not? It's right in front of your face. Like, oh my goodness, it's such a beautiful
thing. That's kind of what's wrong with our faith. Having his presence by having a body there is not an indwelling to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes an indwelling spirit when he left and sent the Holy Spirit.
But that's what he's explaining.
So that's what they couldn't grab.
Right.
But that's what we get to receive.
Right.
I mean, that's tremendous. Yeah. I mean, just look at it.
And I love that word, but. I like a big but. And this is a big, big, big but here. He says, I can't tell you all this because you can't grasp it. But now we come in. But when the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will unveil, just what we've been talking about all morning, the reality of every truth within you.
Within you.
Woo, within. Man.
Wow.
That doesn't light a fire your woods wet. Mm-hmm. That's powerful. He won't speak his own message, but only what he hears from the Father. And he will reveal prophetically to you what is to come.
Hallelujah.
Man, we're not living in the level that we could be living in. And I mean, we're getting there. And it's a day-by-day progression, I understand. But I'm fruit of the Spirit is patience. And I sometimes get impatient. I want it all, you
Thank
know.
You. I'm thinking we're not mature enough yet. Because, it took me forever to finally figure out what Clyde had been saying for years at church. It's like, you know, the...
Calling those things
are... Calling those things are... I'm like, what are you talking about?
Hey, Rich, and now... As you're going here, what I see is there's so many people that are climbing a ladder to get to where they got an elevator to go to.
Yeah, they're doing
the elevator is Jesus is the cross.
Yeah, their own sweat.
You know, the cross allows us to get there.
Yeah,
and but we have to remember, mm-hmm. His cross got us there, but the cross He's asked us to bear keeps us there.
Hmm. He will glorify me.
He don't ask us to do nothing more than He did Himself.
Yeah. He will glorify me, Jesus speaking, he will glorify me on earth, for he will receive from me what is mine and reveal. There's that word reveal and unveil. Reveal. It can only be revealed. All the deepest truths of eternity can only be unveiled and revealed by the Spirit.
That's right.
That's it. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to me, Jesus said. That's why I say that the divine encourager will receive what is mine and reveal it to you. Oh, man. So you won't see me any longer in the flesh.
That's right.
But then after a while, and I love this, you will see me in a new way.
Amen.
And in a new way is italicized. So you will see me. But I love that addition there. I think adds so much.
That's good.
So the question we went over that. The question is, what is seeing him in a new way? What is the new way? We've been talking about it all morning, but if someone came up to you that wasn't a believer and said, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, what's this way? What's this way? You know, why is he saying I'm the way? What do y'all think about that? The way, the truth, and the life. Well, that's all of it, isn't it? You know, you take the way and the truth and you put it into your life and walk it out.
In Christ, it means never fail. In our lives, I shouldn't say ours, because I don't want to speak. It's a process of going ahead and allowing that revelation to shine forth. That, I don't know, something happened to me years ago, and Debbie looked at me and she said, what? And I go like this. And I don't even remember. I said, I actually thought that was dead in me.
Mm-hmm.
Reality hadn't broken forth to where that was much alive in me. But in her, she goes, oh no, that's very much alive in you. And I didn't like it. But she had the freedom to say, to witness the truth, that oh no, it's still there. And I don't know if I was doing a cover up or whatever. You know, like, you know, I don't want people to know I'm a Christian, so you do a cover up. And she goes, oh no, that's there. And I cried. And today I can't tell you what it was about. But I thought, oh, I thought that was dead. She said, no, that's not dead. That's alive.
I've been witnessing it. She was thinking, I've been witnessing it.
Well, and I mean, you know, God will always use someone that will mercifully love you no matter if it is there.
That's what Jesus does. I will say this, marriage is a fiery furnace, but it's good. We think of a fiery furnace as being bad, but marriage is it's a threshing floor. It's where they will see things in you that maybe you don't see, and vice versa, you know.
Purity comes out of that fire.
Yeah, it does.
Purity.
If you have the right heart and the right mind to receive correction.
And you receive it because you know they love you.
That's right.
Yeah, it's out of
love. You're out of love. You know what they're not trying to hurt you or anything.
Right.
You receive it because of the love that comes forth when they speak to you about it or it.
Yeah. 1 Peter 1:22 says, now because of your obedience to the truth, okay, what's the definition of truth? Reality. So you've been woken up to a new reality, to a new truth that you had not seen before, whether it was in pieces, whatever, but your obedience to the truth is saying, okay, Lord, I know that there is a new reality that I'm walking in. You have purified your very soul.
That's beautiful.
And this empowers you to be full of love for your fellow believers. Who's your fellow believers? The church will make you think, well, just those that have kneeled down at the altar and said a magical prayer that automatically thrust them into heavenly realms. No, everybody will awaken to that fact sometime or the other.
For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yep. So, express this sincere love toward one another passionately with a pure heart. What's that mean? That means stop judging people. Stop judging people. Guess what? We all have our flaws. We haven't arrived yet. Maybe one of you have. I haven't. So if we haven't arrived, then guess what? We can't be pointing fingers at anybody else. You know? For though the eternal and living word of God, you have been born again. Not by saying some magic prayer. that doesn't hurt anything, but that's not what's going to make you born again. It's going to be awakened to the reality of who you are in Christ and who Christ is. And by the way, Christ is not Jesus' last name. I mean, seriously, you know, people say Jesus Christ. Well, what does Christ mean? It should be Jesus the Christ. Mm-hmm. Jesus the Anointed. Well, it can be Lisa Christ. Mm-hmm. Tyler Christ. Because we have been given that anointing, right? Jesus said, when you see me as I am, you will be like me. Mm-hmm. Well, if Jesus is the Christ, draw your own conclusions, but I know what my conclusion is. So, for though the eternal and living word of God, you have been born again, and this seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed. Wow. So guess what? People say, well, he was once born again, but he fell from grace, and now he's not born again anymore. Rubbish. Mm-hmm. That's not what the word says. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in a men's group back 15 before I even met Julie, and this guy, I was asking prayer for my daughter, and he said, well, yeah, she, and I said that down at Wings in Elmwood, she stood up at the altar, and you probably remember this, where she stood up and said, you know, I'm so happy, and she was crying, and I was crying more, and she said, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior at 15 years old. And it's like, then, you know, she did her life like we all, some of us do, I know I did, and this guy was trying to tell me, well, she lost her salvation. I said, I won't be coming back, because that's not true. Wow. So anyway, okay, and this seed that he planted within you, and we've all said that the seed is, can only bear the fruit that it's supposed to bear. I mean, you can't take an apple seed and grow grapes vines out of it. You can't take a grape seed to grow vines and have peaches come on it, you know. So if this seed is Jesus Christ that was planted within us, which Christ in you is the hope of glory, and think about that, Christ in you, it didn't say Jesus in you. Now, there's only one, understand that. But Christ in you, that anointing in you, okay? And it says he planted with, and that seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed, but will live and grow inside of you forever. Now think about that. When you die and go to heaven, it doesn't all stop. It's going to keep growing. And it's going to get better and better and gooder, you know? I mean, anyway, that was cool.
Like, it's gooder and gooder.
Gooder and gooder. You like that grammar? My grammar.
I was wondering if that was a word.
What's that?
I was wondering if that was a word when I hear stupider. I'm like, this is stupider.
So anyway, last thing I'll say, and then I want to just open it up, is that for God did not give you the spirit of fear. He did not give you a spirit of fear. Now, do we all deal with some fears? I saw this picture, and it just blew my mind. The guy and this lady, she's reading a book, and he's just kind of, he was actually looking straight down. They're on a big face of a mountain cliff. I mean, it was this way. Now, he would probably do it. I wouldn't be caught anywhere doing it. But anyway, this big cliff, and they're tied into some kind of cleft in the rock, mm-hmm. with all these things, and there's just this piece of cloth that's sitting there, and they're sitting there bedding in for the night. Yeah. I'm like going, are you kidding? I mean, so, you know, some fears I think are maybe just to protect you.
They never rolled out of bed.
No. And if they did, they were connected, but still, it doesn't matter. I couldn't do it. He probably would do it, but I couldn't do it. But anyway, so, you know, The fear, you know, that I'm thinking, the spirit of fear is something that you walk around with, and, you know, it's not good. You know, the only thing that you want is the spirit, and I love how it's put here, the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. Self-control. Self-control is the one that, I know he gave me mighty power and love, but I need him to, you know, deal with that issue that someone happens or whatever, and I start going, you know, you feel the blood pressure going up and stuff like that. So he will do all of it. Power, love, mighty power, not just power, mighty power, love, and self-control. We don't need the spirit of fear. So if you have the spirit of fear once in a while, you got to quote. I like quoting this scripture when I feel fear coming upon me and just say, Lord, you didn't give me this. I don't want it. Take it away. I don't have the strength to take it away or the power, but with you I do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So guess what? You have to take this from me. If I could get rid of it, it'd be gone like that, right? You know, so he has to take it. So you go within and say, Lord, I don't like what I'm feeling here. You know, and I shouldn't operate on feelings, but I do sense, you know, the blood pressure and what else happens. Your heart rate goes up and all kinds of things happen in fear. And we don't want to live in that. So we have to remind God, which he doesn't need to be reminded, but the scripture in 2 Timothy 1:7 is a very important scripture to walk this thing out. Because we all, from time to time, feel that. So how do we do it? What is our part in seeing this living seed in us grow? What part do we play? He's already done it. We've agreed to that. What do we do? How do we allow that seed to grow as quickly as possible? I know he has to grow it, but I think we have to be willing, don't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Let this mind be.
Yeah, that's what Clyde and I were talking before class.
I'll say this, for me, even going back to the story of Evie and then looking at this scripture right here, when I'm out of self-control, this is just a habit I've gotten into, I just stop and I just say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me here? What are you trying to show me?
Mm-hmm.
And shut up.
That's me.
And stop.
That's what you're
saying. Just stop.
Like, let me learn from this quickly. That's what I like to
yeah,
hear.
What are you trying to show? Because inevitably what it does is it takes the control out of my hands, mm-hmm. and it puts it back in his.
Mm-hmm. We said it last week, swift to hear, mm-hmm. slow to speak. What's the third
slow
one?
Slow to wrath.
And then when we get to place, I believe we have what our choices are. A lot of times we'll choose to control something, and we don't realize God actually wants us to control a lot more things than we do control. But he wants us to know, I've given you the power to do that. I've given you my word. And my word is his promise, and his promise is an eternal value, not just a passing by thought. I mean, he knew what's down the road before we do. He knew when you were coming here today, how much rain you'd have, all everything. Who'd be on the road, he knew it all. And I think that when we confess with our lips and believe in our heart, mm-hmm. that he is what he said he is, that's a big reality.
Mm-hmm. That's some breaking forth of reality.
And that we are who he said we are.
Mm-hmm. We are what God says we are. Don't we sing that song? We are.
I am
what God says I am. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the rest of it? I am a God.
More than a conqueror.
Yeah.
More than a conqueror.
Anyway, that's good. Good song. we need to keep reminding ourselves. More than a conqueror to him who loves us.
Loves me.
Yeah, I am what God says I am. Okay, all right. I'll wake up at 3 in the morning and pop that in there. And I'll say, thank you, Lord. Now put me back to sleep.
I hope God forgives me, but anytime we sing that, I'm thinking of Popeye.
Yeah, I am.
I am what
yeah,
I am.
Yep, yep. Good old Popeye. Well, I just, if you get nothing else out of this, just what seems new. If you're seeking, he says he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You know, and if you seek him with all your heart, what happens?
You find him.
You find him.
There's an even deeper truth in that, I believe. Because that is what God's thoughts are toward us. He wants us to diligently seek him. And we were lowered into this state, you know, of what our physical bodies think of as reality, which is not reality.
Right.
Because it's God's desire that we find him through our seeking him out and having a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Let me take that.
And loving him, you know. And that, and that's what is going to reconnect us mm-hmm. to who we really, really are in Christ.
Yep. Yep.
That's why these things that happen to us, they've all been allowed.
Mm-hmm.
We should feel no, you know, this is God's plan for us, that we come to the full knowledge of him through what we're walking out. That's what his plan was for us.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, just walk it out. It's yeah. a process.
I find that during this process, there comes this absolutely communicating, cooperating, accepting, you know, what he is speaking and showing you and doing, you know, within you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk about fear. I had some nights that I wasn't able to sleep. And I said, Lord, I can't bring, I got things, I got to go to work tomorrow, I got to do this, I was asking him, and he was showing me how I was worrying about Savannah, my niece.
Yeah, yeah.
And he started speaking to me and telling me, I love her far more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
I know where she is,
mm-hmm.
I know what's happening to her,
mm-hmm.
I know the protection. He just started speaking to me and telling me that. Now, either you believe it or you don't.
Yes, right. Right. Yes.
And I said, Lord, help my unbelief. To do a work, and I'm telling you, went to sleep and been sleeping since then. And then I said, you know, I hadn't heard from her. And then fear. That's what he was telling
me.
What's fear? You hear all these things happening to people and their baby children and all. He was showing how I was looking at them, and it was fear. And so I either trust him or not. And so I told him I wanted to. And then I believe you, I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Very next day, she calls me. She called me and I talked to her. But God was bringing me to the place of trusting him and believing him and really cooperating with him. When he's seeing this and communicating with him. Because he just wants to one us so great with us.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to meet us. And their experiences.
Neat story.
Mm-hmm.
I think too, because I've been going to this church for a long time, and obviously you guys all prayed for me about fear, and you know, and it's so funny that, you know, when I think of fear now, I always hear the Lord saying, well, then you don't trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trusting me.
Yeah.
And yeah, we all have a fear of, you know, the boogeyman's going to come or whatever. There's no boogeyman, you know. But I'm just, it's the Lord saying, you're not trusting me.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is in charge of everything that's happened in your life now?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I've got this, you know.
Yeah.
I've got this. What are you thinking? You know, you and your crazy thoughts. Like, I got this, little girl.
Yeah.
You know, stop stressing out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and I love that he says, you know, boy, then you're not trusting me. You don't, you don't believe that what my word says is true and that you don't trust me.
Oh, ye of little faith, you're showing me.
Yeah.
Sorry, oh,
though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Oh, yep. Yes, Lord.
Oscar, any thoughts? And if you could pray us out, any thoughts before we get out of here? You've been kind of quiet today.
Well, I've just been listening. The only thought that I have is when you talk about the truth and about it being that which always was reality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the one thing that we know always was God.
Amen.
He is the only reality.
Yep.
And any time that we start looking at anything else, we're not looking at reality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Scripture says when we see him as he is, we'll be just like him. So when we come to the full realization of that he is the truth, he is the reality, he is that which always was in our lives, in that Scripture I shared a couple weeks ago when I spoke about... when it says, you know, I'm trying to think exactly how to put it. It says, really, it's, well, I don't know exactly how to put it. I guess it goes like this. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And when we come to the realization that it's no longer I that liveth, mm-hmm. but Christ that liveth in us, you know, and we come to that true revelation of that, the reality of it, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and that's when we quit going in and out when we come to the reality,
mm-hmm.
you know, where we, it's just, it begins to be all God. You know, in 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it talks about that eventually everything is going to be subject to the Father, even the Son, even Jesus is going to be subject, you know, because God is going to be all and what? In all. And when we come to that true revelation of that, then there's not going to be any more worrying, and there's not going to be any more, well, maybe this is the truth, and maybe this isn't, and maybe, you know, all this kind of stuff where we are always seeking the highest revelation now, and really the only real revelation is Christ in you,
yes.
the hope of glory,
mm-hmm.
that anointing inside of you that will break every yoke, that will lift you into the highest heavens, that will cause you to be seated together with him in heavenly places,
mm-hmm.
and until we come to the full realization of that reality of it, you know, then we're gonna kind of grope around in the darkness to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. You know, he is the light, but it's like when you walk into a room, you know, if somebody moved the furniture and the light's off, guess what you do?
Bump your knee.
You bump your leg or your shin or your toe or something on something, because, you know, every time Margaret moves something in the house, if I walk through the house at night, I inevitably will find it, whatever it was, with my toe or something.
Yeah.
but you know, that reality, it's breaking forth, and the light is getting brighter and brighter. He's telling us to rise and shine. Our light has come. And the glory of the Lord is going to be risen upon us. And kings are going to come to the brightness of our rising. I tell you, the kings of this world are going to have to bow down to the King of Kings.
Amen.
And there's a lot of kings in this world. There's a lot of things. I tell you what, I saw something on television yesterday that I thought, my God, what in the world's happening? And I'm not trying to get political, but I saw them pulling a golden statue of Donald Trump down through the hallway at the Republican convention that they got going on now. A golden statue of him. Now, it might have been for a joke, or it might not have been for a joke. But I'm going to tell you what, folks, we need to wake up and we need to realize that we don't need to be worshiping any political system, anything out there. We don't just need to be worshiping God, and that's all.
But you got to be careful what you're watching, too.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying.
Turn it off. I just turned it off.
I happen to flip over, and they're hauling a golden statue of Donald Trump down the hallway, and I'm thinking, what in the world are they doing? You know, but I can tell you, we're living in some strange times right now, but God's going to bring all this stuff down, and it's all going, I don't know what, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in this country sometimes, but we know he's in control.
It doesn't matter, does it?
Well, it doesn't.
Really? Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. It comes down to it, there's only so much
we're going to be the only ones that you know, the kingdoms of this world are going to be the kingdom of our Lord and of his what?
Yes.
His Christ. Yes. And that's you all. Mm-hmm. But we have to make sure that we don't fall into these traps that are out there, because there's a lot of them out there, you know. And we can find ourselves heading in the wrong direction if we're not real careful.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, just we ask you to just let that word sink into our hearts that we've heard today. Let the reality of Christ, that knowing who you are, where you are, and what you are in our lives, that you are our very life, let it come to the surface where we don't go in and out of that reality, where we stay in the reality of you.
Yes.
Because creation's groaning and travailing, waiting to see some people stand up in the reality of God, because they'll be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. Thank you for what you're doing, and I ask you to just bless all the people, and just bring us to that reality, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.